The contents of this podcast might refer to information that has changed since the moment of its recording. Follow us on Twitter at Project Noom to keep up with our latest updates.
All right, this is my first spaces, so if I'm violating any rules or sense of, decorum, or let me know.
No, you're good. You're good. What we're gonna do is we're gonna everybody in here, if you don't mind, tweet out the space. We're gonna get a whole bunch of folks in here, so they can just say hey to you, get to know you a little bit, and then ask you some questions, and just kind of chit chat about what Web3 looks like for you, kind of your history, because you've always been on the front end of things. And actually, I might let Mitchell or Michael just chit chat. Just a back end of how they met and kind of let everybody know what the connection is and how we got connected.
All right. Is there a way for me to tweet this out, or does it automatically let people know once I'm a speaker?
I think if you bottom right hand corner, there's a plus symbol. And if you do that, it actually populates the tweet for you. And then if you touch the right hand corner, that'll tweet it out from your account, I think.
Done. Yeah, no, you're absolutely correct. It's done.
Yep. One thing also, Merz, is, if you want to tag anybody, I'm not sure, within your community, your connections, if you want to tag them, they can join us in the space as well. It would be super cool.
All right. It's 11 after. We're going, guys. Smoke them if you got them. Retweet this if you haven't yet, please, because we all want folks to get to know Merz and give him a warm welcome to the fam. But that being said, I'll either Mitchell, Michael, one of the two of you, or both of you, if you would, I would love for you guys to kind of give us just an intro for Merz and, tell us how you know him and how you got in contact, how you met, and all the connections, and we can go from there. Don't let anybody take it.
Oh, man. Okay. Shoot, I'll go. Hey, Merz is a legend. A living legend, literally and physically. So I met Merz just by seeing him perform. And the type of man that Merz is, if you show him love, he shows you love back. So eventually, just after being a fan of his and being able to wiggle and get backstage at some of his shows and stuff, just because of other people in my network, we just developed a friendship. He's seen me so many times that he would recognize my face, and then he became a friend. We went to WrestleMania together when we were in the Bay Area. Whenever he had shows, I would get a text from him hey Mikey, what's up, you and Jim, y'all on the list, come through to my show, without even asking. And so I looked up to him as a fan and as a man because of just all the stuff seeing that he does. He's such a great dude, and he's incredibly talented. His library is so stacked. Anybody who's a Merz fan, they know. Merz, wherever he goes, he has a cult following. Everybody knows all his music. He makes real-ass music. And for me, I first started off, like I said, as a big fan. So being able to be a friend of his became a tremendous bonus to me. And so, being a part of Noom and seeing what Noom does, I felt personally Merz directly aligned with that. And so, earlier on, I started in Noom as an ambassador, where Ryan wanted us to help Noom find artists who could bring some weight to the platform. And boom, I instantly just reached out to Merz, and Merz was like, what's up? Yeah, I'm down. Let's make the call. And now here we are. So he's just a great human being and an extremely talented artist that I built a relationship with from the ground up, from a fan all the way up to just being a man, And I look up to him a lot. I moved to Phoenix, Arizona, partially off of his decision, because he used to live, I believe, in Tucson. And And, you know, and I was not necessarily following what he does, but, you know, when somebody's doing something that you want to do and you have access to them, you want to reach out to them and pick their brain. So, you know, I reached out to him. He told me great things about Arizona. I moved to Arizona. It was the best move of my whole life. So I owe a lot to him. And so that's why, personally, I brung him to Noom, because I felt like it's just a match made in heaven.
So basically what you're telling me is we just watched a story play out in real time between an artist directly connecting with his fan and then going like 100x on that, and it developed into, you know, personal relationship and mentorship, maybe even. It's kind of honestly how you speak about it, I would say.
Yeah, and so, you know, like, he probably doesn't think he's a mentor to me at all, because I don't really reach out and press him and stuff, because he's put so many people on. I personally don't feel like I've done enough in my career to reach out to someone like him to try to get put on. So I'm willing to do it the old fashioned way, the hard grind way, to where he sees me doing something and he's automatically want to be a part of that. But just being the man that he is, you know, like, it's just a blessing. I don't know how to fully explain it.
For anybody wondering, literally, he was a kid in a candy shop whenever we were talking about bringing him on, bringing on Merz. And so he showed me a picture of him and Merz going to WrestleMania together. And I think you were in a costume, weren't you?
Oh, no, that's you talking about John Connor on that one. But that's a different one. I met John Connor at a different WrestleMania. But with Merz, I went to, I believe it was WrestleMania 30, and we stayed in the same Airbnb. And like, and I was just sitting there like hell of nervous, because I was like, oh my God, I'm in the same room as Merz right now, you know. But he was just like hella cool, you know. And we got the same last name too, so I always yell Carter Gang to him. So, you know, I tell him we might be related. That might be something. So
okay. I feel so bad now thinking that somehow I got costumes confused since you're going to WrestleMania with all these folks. Well, yeah. Okay. So obviously you have a long relationship with him, and you felt compelled enough that you wanted to reach out to him with this because you felt like he'd be a great match. And for everybody listening, I discovered some new things about Merz. I knew about him and I knew about his music, but what I didn't understand and didn't fully grasp is, two, how focused he is on relationships. And one, how big he is on education. And you guys know us, you know Noom, and we're big on education. That's part of the equation, right, with anything crypto. You can't change the world with new technology until, you know, people get led there and they make that understanding and connection themselves. And so
we know that we got to learn.
Right, we have to learn. And so Merz actually started, I think, three schools. Is that correct, Merz? I guess we can turn it over to you for a second. You know, you have that going on, but, you know, we can get to that in just a minute. You know, but Merz is super big on education, but he also, he's done this thing from boots on the ground to with the big label. So he's seen this whole process from Jump Street on both ends of the equation. And that's a very unique situation that he finds himself in, and he's not taking it for granted. And he's using that knowledge and his platform to help educate the next wave of creatives that are coming up through his schools, I think. It's kind of how I would best phrase it. But Merz, would you mind giving us, just for those that are on, just a quick breakdown of, you know, your history, where you came at from the business, where you started, where you went, and where you're at now?
Yeah, sure. Hello, everyone. For those who don't know, my name is Merz, M-U-R-S. I started my journey in music, and, you know, in the 80s when I heard rap, but professionally in 1996, I did my first European tour. You know, it was kind of just grassroots. We went, you know, to perform in orphanages and just kind of bogarting our way on the shows, because this is pre-internet. So we would show up, and if Wu-Tang was performing, we'd say, we're opening for Wu-Tang, and they'd believe us, because there's no other reason Americans would be there if they weren't with Wu-Tang, but we weren't. And we kind of just went from there in Japan, and wherever there was a mic, we just rapped on bars. And I got my first record deal in Japan around 98. And then we went to Australia, and because we were boxed out of the market by the major labels. No one wanted to give us a shot. until we were in foreign magazines and they started seeing our tour posters when they went on tour. And I was selling, you know, more records than Nas in Japan at one point before I even could headline a show in America for 10 people. And then the world started to open up, and the indie grind got a little bit more respected. And I signed Def Jux, which was LP currently in Run the Jewels, a good friend of mine, and he signed me to my first record deal and got me in Best Buy and places. And from there, Warner Brothers took a look at me and I signed with them. And then as I transitioned out of the indie market, I started a festival called Pay Dues, which went on to become the biggest independent rap festival and the first festival to host Kendrick, Mac Miller, Nipsey Hussle, Dom Kennedy. Because I didn't have, as I told you the story, I didn't have a lot of help starting out. So I wanted to kind of leave breadcrumbs and platforms for others to build their way out of the underground. And I think it worked. And went on for 8 years. We started off at we're the first show to ever be held at the Shrine Expo Hall. Well, in recent history, they had it back in the day, but we brought it back. And from there, I was mentored by the owner of Rock the Bells, Chang Weisberg, and Paul Toilette, who does Coachella. He let me, shadow him for a couple Coachellas and just watch him and how he ran the operation. And so we went from 5,000 tickets to eventually 30,000 tickets at our last one in 2013. And that just inspired me more because I kept finding people that were willing to help me. So I wanted to help others. From there, I went on to sign to Strange Music. I'm currently independent. Strange Music, we put out, since we're in the crypto space, so I put out my first album with Strange Music was called Merce Day with the group Mayday. And we were in that studio arguing because there's Burns, one of the members of Mayday, is a know-it-all. He was telling me how crypto was a scam. This was 2014. And I had just put out a comic book, a graphic novel, in conjunction with my friend Josh Blaylock. And he, after we had a successful, so I think we were the second rap thingy. It was a rap graphic novel to be fully funded on Kickstarter. I guess this is part of me trying to be on the cutting edge. I heard about Kickstarter and empowering fans. And as Mikey described, like, I'm really direct with my fan base. And me and Josh successfully funded our comic book, and he came to my house to ship it out to everyone and fulfill the orders. And we had breakfast, and he's like, yo, you mind if I pay you in Bitcoin? And this is probably 2013, I think. And I was like, what the hell do you mean, bro? I'm like, sure. I was going to treat you to breakfast, but if you want to give me some imaginary money, that's cool too. And then for the rest of the day, while we're packing up orders, he explains this to me. And I was like, yo, this is amazing. This is what I've been looking for. Like, you know, as a kid, a Wu-Tang baby, like, I've been looking out for the New World Order and all these other things for years in a way to kind of connect humans outside of the larger institutions we call government and boundaries and lines. And so I was like, this is amazing. This is it. I just heard it and I knew it was the future. And like I said, it's 2013. So I went to do this album and this producer's telling me that crypto is blah, blah, blah. And I was like, man. So if you listen to this, we did a song called Bitcoin BZ. And the chorus says, I got 50 Bitcoin worth about 100 grand. And people just went to town on me on Twitter when the album dropped. Oh, how's that Bitcoin doing for you? Is it worth 100 grand yet? Is your 50 Bitcoin ever going to be worth 100 grand? Ha ha ha. I wish I could dig up those tweets. But in the skit that led into the song, I was telling him, I was like, I don't think Bitcoin is going to be it. It's the forerunner. It's the Yahoo. It's the, you know, Google's going to come along and do this a lot better than Bitcoin is doing it. Someone's going to figure out how to do this well. It won't be Bitcoin, and it won't be the thing after that. It'll be the next thing, because that's how it always works, you know? And it wasn't the Motorola track phone. It was really cool when StarTech phones came out, but that wasn't it. And so that I've always believed in, you know, I didn't double down. I didn't invest. I wasn't about the money, you know, aspect of it. So I didn't get rich off of Bitcoin, and I didn't keep my Bitcoin. I didn't keep up with it. But I also saw the community come to my shows, and I had people show up to in stores and shows and merch table and go, I don't know your music. I came because you made a song about Bitcoin, and I'll buy everything you have in merch and in Bitcoin. But usually I wasn't equipped to accept it. So I just say, well, here, have a t-shirt, take whatever you want. And I just love the community aspect of it. And my friend Josh Blaylock continued to just building that community and telling me about the conferences he was going to in 2014, 15, 16. And then when NFTs hit, I called him immediately. I said, now, Josh, there's a purpose other than money to be involved. There's a way that art can help forward this technology and this movement. And I want in. I want to figure out how we can work together now. Because before, I'm not a stock market trader. I'm not a crypto trader. Not that I don't care about money, but I care about art and I care about community. And
it's the curse of the merch girl.
Yeah, curse of the merch girl is it I did with Josh Blaylock. And so from there, I recently started a part of my resume too, as far as education. I did a show for Hip Hop DX on YouTube called, I think Hip Hop DX just recently reached a million subscribers, but I did a series for a year called The Breakdown, which is an editorial where we go over the origins of hip hop, what's real hip hop, are the Beastie Boys the greatest group of all time, and like 10-minute editorials that I wrote and co-directed. And I met a lot of young people who were, you know, the platform told me that young people weren't into hip hop history. And then I started walking through the airport and kids from Ireland were stopping me and saying, you know, 16-year-olds telling me how much I educated them on hip hop. And I really got excited. And I don't know what year, I think 4 years ago, not for profit in Fort Collins, Colorado, reached out about trying to get kids into the space. Because they had a beautiful multi-million-dollar music space, but it was only being used for violin and piano. And they're like, we want young people and people, a more diverse crowd coming in. What should we do? And I said, you need an open mic to get these kids off of SoundCloud and into a real space with peers and building community. And I gave them the idea. And they're like, okay, well, you build the program, we'll fund it. And so I built something called Ground Waves, where we have an open mic and we invite all MCs out. And then you're allowed to do one song, and then people were allowed to not boo you, but start a chant that we call Thank You, Come Again. And if that chant starts, then you have to stop rapping. But it also is getting the trolls out of hiding. So I watch the room, and the person to start the chant or chant the loudest has to stand up and give constructive criticism to the artist on stage. And then the next day I hold like professor sessions. So I do mentorship sessions for 45 minutes to an hour from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. usually. And I'll meet with those artists and give them tips on what they did wrong or what they can, not they did wrong, but what they can improve upon. And then they're guaranteed a place to perform at the next Ground Waves. And it's a monthly event. From there, we opened up a chapter in Northwest Arkansas. And then we just recently opened up a branch in Tulsa. So, you know, 1 week out of the month, I am working with up and coming MCs who all ask me, you know, what's NFT, what's publishing, what's, so it's my job to be kind of educated in the space and experimenting, or, you know, working with Project Noom and various other crypto things. I take all of these calls and try to learn as much as I can, because I feel like this is the future, and I'm not going to be rapping for much longer. I want to put my full focus on educating the next generation. But, you know, we were living legends. We were the first ones with CDs. We were the second people with what are those things called, the message boards, second people with a mail order on the website. We've always been first people with CDRs, because we, instead of making our own tapes, we started burning CDRs. We were selling CDRs on the street before anyone in the world, and we know because we were all over the world. So I've always just, you know, I was one of the first rappers to have a festival. You know, I was direct inspiration for Tyler to start Flogna. Just, you know, everything, whether it's, you know, Kickstarter or what, if I hear something new and it can further the culture of hip hop and, you know, put the control in the hands of the artist, then I want to be a part of it. And I'll stop there. Thank you for your time, everyone who listened.
Oh, Merz, you're just too good of a person. That's all I'm going to say. So I think anybody who just listened to this, there is no way that you cannot look at this artist and go, can I please support you in whatever you're doing? Because you are literally out to better the next wave of creatives and humanity in general. So one of the most humble people I think I've ever met. So, and I tell you, when we had our first call, just to let everybody know, when we hopped on the call, we literally spoke for, what was it, like 15 minutes or not even that long, but like 10 minutes, Merz. And I was like, yeah, I do people for a living. You're good people. Welcome to the family. And that was kind of, that was how it went, basically. if I'm not mistaken. That was kind of a blur. It happened real fast, but it's like when it clicks, it clicks. So I just want to say a special thanks to our ambassadors, Mitchell and Michael both, for you know, making that connection and feeling that MERS was a good connection for us, especially with that education content. So that's MERS, and I will tell you, it's not alpha, but it is a little extra bit. Abyss Beats up here and MERS are, I think, working on a piece of music together that we will eventually be potentially fractionalizing and offering for sale for the community members. Just FYI.
Yes, sir.
So do you want to say anything about that, or you good keeping it on the down low for right now?
Oh, man, I'm super excited about it. I guess it's up to MERS, really. I'm totally excited, man. I'm just, again, feel blessed to be a part of this. You know, this community is just awesome. It's kind of to second what he was saying earlier, you know, the crypto space in general, but Cardano has just been really welcoming. So, yeah, as far as this project is concerned, I also, you know, I don't have the great relationship that Mike described, but I have known MERS through a mutual friend since I was a kid as well. And, you know, we talked years ago about doing a project when he was first starting out, before MERS was MERS. So it really does feel like a full circle opportunity for me. And I just, you know, again, I just appreciate the opportunity. So looking forward to it. You guys will definitely be able to fractionalize it. You know, all the details are yet to come. But, yeah, super excited about the project.
I mean, I will say, if anybody is wondering, so the white paper is coming very soon. We just have to finish copy edits on it. This is just full transparency, because y'all know we do radical transparency around here. We take that seriously. But we do have the white paper, which is I do think that you'll find a substantial amount of information already there for the white paper that talks through a lot of the tech details and just the mechanics and how the business model actually works for the platform to actually be a viable option. So if you want, feel free to go and take a look at the light paper. You can find it on the website at projectneem.io. And I started to see hands, which is wonderful. And side note, I also see Big Joe from the Stoners Club down there. I see you listening. This is one thing, MERS, Joe is a massive fan of yours. Joe is a well-known individual in the Cardano space, and he only brings the love, I would say. He's a great person, and I know he probably wants to hop up and say hello. But if you guys want to introduce yourself and you have any questions for either us or MERS, please feel free to request speaker, and you can raise your hand, and we'll do this for about 30 minutes tops, because we want to be respectful of MERS's time, because I know you got things to do, man. You got family time. Juice, what you got for us?
Yeah, what's going on, everyone? And thank you, Ryan, for hosting the space. And MERS, man, big shout out, man. Big shout out. I just wanted to introduce myself, say, hey, I'm Juice. I'm a producer in the community, one of the co-founders of Listening Room. And I just wanted to almost just ask. And again, man, it's really dope that you've really found, you know, community and family here on Cardano. And I just want to see, like, what is it about Noom that really piqued your interest the most? And then in addition to that, like, what is it about Cardano that really has you, you know, committed to really building within this community here?
Juice, nice to meet you. That's my wife's name, so it's great. Noom, and I had no idea what Noom was until, well, you know, like, Mikey and I are on a WrestleMania chat with all the homies that go to WrestleMania together, and he kept telling me about this, and as the NFT gold rush was going on, it's like, okay, but I trust Mikey, like you said, and I respect him, and I just never had the time with three kids and COVID and homeschooling to peep from what he was talking about. And then Josh Blaylock, who I did Merch Grow with, who introduced me to Bitcoin back in 2013. When I came back to him and said, okay, what do I need to start doing as crypto's, you know, taking off again? And he mentioned Cardano, but he like me, is kind of, you know, trying to find a new way of of you know, community or government or whatever. So he was just like, these are the ones that are doing, you know, things like Cardano. And I think he mentioned the Philippines and he mentioned Africa, which really piqued my interest. Because I really would love to, like, level the playing field for all peoples of the world. And that was really important to me. So I just bought Cardano based on that and, you know, held it and, or hodled or whatever the slang is. And because it was important to me and, you know, as I would, you know, check in periodically, you know, listen to Crypto with Casey episodes. I don't know if anybody listens to that, just to get basic information and stay abreast of what's going on in the crypto. But, you know, not like I said, I'm not a day trader, so I'm not watching that way. I get the updates from, you know, crypto.com or whatever. This is going down. This is plus, you know, but I don't care because I believe in the long term, in the future. And so that's kind of what piqued my interest about Cardano. And I didn't go deep. And like I said, I'm stepping away from recording. And my wife knows, like, this is my new, one of my new passions aside from teaching is just I want to be able to be in these spaces. And when Clubhouse was a thing, I just wasn't able to commit and the time to develop relationships and meet with people. But I, you know, I believe coming up soon, I'll be able to devote more time to this. And this is a way for me to learn on the job. And like Abyss said, it's really, I can see, he mentioned it, I forgot all about it, but he, you know, in the days of bumming around East Oakland, living in a warehouse, trying to record raps, like he gave me a ride from Fremont to East Oakland where we live. And he sat in the car and I said, I liked his music. And I said, like, we should do a project here. That's how I am with everybody. If I see talent, I don't care what your name is. And that's how I met a producer called Ninth Wonder. You know, I heard his beats and I called him. I was like, let's do a project. And I didn't know that a year later he'd be producing for Jay-Z and Destiny's Child. He was just somebody who had dope beats. And so that's why I think I probably saw that vibe with, you know, there's a line in Pulp Fiction where Sam Jackson says he wants to walk the earth like Kane and Kung Fu and getting adventures. And I took that as my life mantra. And so when I met Abyss and then he brought that up and I was like, I could see myself looking and he was a baby. He was so young. I was a baby, but he was a baby. And I could see it. And we said that, you know, I asked him, let's do something. We wanted to do something. There was a mutual willingness to work together. And literally, you know, 20 something years later, here we are. And so when Abyss was on the call and I like clicked and remembered him, Mikey was the intro and then I clicked and remembered him. I was like, oh, wow. And then Ryan and everyone on the call felt like fam. I was like, cool. Let's see where this can go. And that's kind of just what my whole life has been. Like, okay, you know, my friend's like, we have 3 shows booked in Japan, in Europe. You want to go for 3 weeks and sleep on floors and perform in orphanages? Sure. If it involves music and meeting new people and going new places and, you know, Web3, the metaverse, whatever it is going new places. This is I've traveled the world, and now I want to travel some more, but, you know, not on a plane, please.
Well, I can tell you that I think one of the things for MERS when it clicked, or not necessarily clicked, because I think MERS can say this, but no one cares what you know until they know that you care. Right. And I think people especially in the tech space, they tend to forget that. Right. And I think Cardano, a lot of times, you know, we like to go, we're peer reviewed, we're high assurance code. We have all the talking points and they're valid. But I think we lead with that a lot of times, too many times, instead of, you know, connecting first on the human level and just, you know, getting to know who we're talking to before we try to, you know, pour the tea down their throat, for lack of better terms. But, you know, once we got kind of into the meat and potatoes, you know, MERS was asking a lot of questions like, okay, how's this work? Okay. But I think, you know, when we surmised it and go, what's our overarching goal? If I had to really surmise it, is we want to create equity for everybody. We want every person to have the same tools available. You know, whether that be a label, a management firm, an independent artist, et cetera, right? We just want everybody to have the same tools to play with, and to not have anyone be a gatekeeper, essentially. And you know, I think when we put it like that, that really resonated with MERS. I don't want to speak for you, but I feel like when I watched you on the call when we were talking, when we kind of made that connection, I think that was a big deal for you, I think, just from your focus and what you focus on in your life. So
yeah, I think that, yeah, I like leveling the playing field. I like empowering. And I grew up in the underground and I hated the mainstream and the major record label. But when I got the chance to sign to Warner Brothers, I said, you know, I never shopped a demo. They came to me and I was like, yeah, I'll try it. And when I got there, I realized that there's people who actually cared. And the person who was running the label at the time was a man named Tom Wally, who was legit one of the last people to work himself up from the mailroom of Warner Brothers to be the president. And he really cared about music and he had a staff of people who really cared. And he was pushed out by another, you know, bigwig, and it got really corporate and really crappy. And I don't want to take away from, like, I think major labels were a good thing when A&Rs really did do work and they developed music, and that doesn't happen anymore. Now they let the fans do it and they do it for free. And the artists do it for penny on a dollar. And they say, and I was one of the first artists. I was selling 60,000 units on my own. And they were like, okay, what do you got for us? I'm like, well, what do you have for me? I'm doing well. I can make $250,000 every time I drop a record. What do you mean? You didn't do any work. You didn't find me. You didn't develop me. I've done all the work. And I really think that offering fans a way to participate for being the tastemakers, they are the gatekeepers. They're the real gatekeepers. It's no longer these labels. They look at how many views we collectively as the people give to a certain artist, and that validates them. There's no one with an ear for music at these labels anymore, or they're not allowed to do anything with their ear unless there's numbers to back it up. If you hear a guy with, you know, that has 20 views on YouTube, but you think he's the next Michael Bublé, they're not going to listen to that person. They're not going to listen to the music. They're going to look at the numbers. And we are the numbers. And so we can start, you know, participating and benefiting from day one and maybe never even incorporating them. That's so exciting to me.
Oof. That just, yep. I can't say it any better. That's amazing. I'm going to go with the one, the only, the Don, the Big Joe, and then Solaire. Joe, hello, hello.
Yo, what up? Awesome. Awesome to be here. First and foremost, I want to welcome Merz to Cardano with open arms. It's amazing to see, you know, Merz on the cutting edge of a technological revolution of not just music, but information as a whole. And I know he said he's not a big fan of the mainstream, but I'm just wondering, Merz, have you ever worked with Snoop? Because he recently got into Cardano via the Clay Nation. And I feel like now on Cardano, we're able to flex our muscle a little bit when it comes to the quote unquote celebrity power that we have now with Merz as well. And not only established artists, but the music scene in Cardano is crazy. I know Juice spoke earlier. We got Crime Fighter up here. So many dope musicians, even Liberty, all kinds of different genres. So it's exciting to hear so many people are noticing what's going on right here. Real quick, I heard Merz mention WrestleMania. I guess he's going to hear about Shillamania now. So it's kind of funny that he mentioned it. And Merz, if you haven't heard about Shillamania, you might want to come through. Every 20th, we do it. And I think you'd be a great representative for Project Neum. It basically is a 60-second battle between two different artists in Cardano or projects. And I think if anything, even if you weren't to participate in it, you'd get a kick out of the fun we have every 20th with all the different artists. There's music artists, spoken word poetry. We're just really excited to have you on board, and we want you to go ahead and experience everything we already got going on here. So yeah, basically that's it, bro. Welcome, and we hope to see you in the spaces and, you know, make yourself at home.
Thank you so much. Your voice reminds me of Ace Rock. Oh man, I see us. Noah James is here, and Mecca, peace to you. Man, yeah, I know Snoop, I don't say really well, but, you know, like my management company or team was eventually became his management team. He was on my first record on Warner Brothers, Merch for President. I've been on an episode of GGN. I was in a couple of his, you know, sell homemade movies. So, yeah, I know Snoop pretty well. And I think, you know, it's only right that Crips are, you know, making the leads in crypto. So I'm not against mainstream artists. I'm not against any artists. I'm against the inequity in the music business. You know, it's but other than that, you know, the people playing the game didn't make the rules. I have nothing against them. Even the people that work there, we're dealing with what we have. But for you to stand on it as an equitable, fair business model is ridiculous. And, you know, the music business is always slow. They're the last to get on board. They fought streaming for so long. It was ridiculous. So, yeah. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to Shillamania as well. Sounds great. Sounds thoroughly entertaining. And I hope they're cutting great promos in their 60 seconds. We had one of the greatest promos in wrestling history cut last night. I don't know if anyone cares about that but me. But, you know, so I'm definitely into 60 seconds for you to shill and battle. I love it.
You will have a fun time. Joe's a great host, and there's actually some really, yeah, I mean, it's really fun. They're a good community, and what you're going to find is that the Cardano community in and of itself has grown so much since 2017 that, you know, there's so many micro communities, and it's almost like we have our own little symphony of blockchains within a blockchain itself. Because we have all these small groups, and they kind of have some. It's like a massive multi Venn diagram where there's there's people in every group kind of overlap into another group, etc. So, but I will tell you, you have found people here. They're good people, and they go out of their way to help. And no one's. I haven't really found a selfish person that I've had to deal with in this space, and that's amazing. So, Laird and Crime Fighters. Hey, man, what's up?
How's it going? A lot of this has kind of been covered a little bit already, but which is awesome. It's been, the answers have been thorough. It's been a lot of fun to listen. Merz is a welcome as well. He's a huge, or you're a huge, not talk about you like you're not here. You're a huge inspiration to the underground hip hop scene in my area. And something that I've always been impressed about was your ability to kind of move things on your own. So as the internet technology was changing, building up the fan base while major labels were ignoring that and kind of seeing these opportunities early, I was curious if you see what's happening with crypto as being similar, kind of an extension, or if there's any differences or kind of what your thoughts are on this new kind of way of peer-to-peer. It's almost like the early internet on steroids, I guess.
Yeah, I definitely see, I guess, it's the similarities between Web 2 and Web 3. Definitely. And, you know, I didn't understand Napster. I didn't understand message boards. There was a guy who worked in the comparative religions department at California, University of California, Berkeley, who came to a show with Mystic Journeyman, who founded Living Legends, and said, "I want to run your website." And this is 1995. And they're like, "What do you mean?" And then in 1996, he came to us like, "Can you guys, I want to buy some tapes from you." And this is a 45-year-old white man. And we're all in our 20s, young black kids. And I was like, "What? What do you want to buy our tapes and sell them on the computer? Are you crazy?" And he had the money and he bought them. I was like, "Okay." And then he called me and he said, "I need 20 more tapes." Then it became 100 tapes a month. And then it became a catalog. And then the message board became this. And then I did my first show in Japan, and there's Japanese kids showing me the tapes that they purchased from this man. And I said, "Whoa." And then this thing called Napster happened. And I had friends that would go from Howard to, or from LA to Howard. And they're like, "Man, I put everybody in my building dorm onto it." And the previous years, when my friends would tell me I play my music for my friends, you'd have to dub the tape from someone if you really cared. But then once Napster was popping in LimeWire, these kids would just go to their room and say, "Oh, I just heard about Merce. Give me all of his music." And while major labels were going, "F this, this is crazy. We're never going to make any money." I was like, "Please, now you don't have to buy my tape on the street or out in front of the show." So we went on a tour opening for Hieroglyphics, and we just said our name and like, "Living Legends, I'm Merce, blah, blah, blah." And then kids could go home and steal our music. And it was the best thing that ever happened to us. Because we got more shows and people, and then, you know, people were humans and they're like, "Oh, well, I stole it from you." I've had so many people come up to me, give me $20, $30, $100. Like, "Here, I stole so much of your music back in the day. Thanks so much." Or now they're Patreon supporters of mine, or now they subscribe to me on Twitch. So yeah, that's like whether it's Twitch, whether it's Patreon, like anything that involves music. Like I was the first rapper or second rapper with a podcast, like anything. So yeah, I definitely see this as the new thing and the next thing in a huge way.
Yo, I got another question.
Go for it.
Question is, hey, first, how you doing, Merce? You might know me. What up, big cuz? This is Op. Hey, I'm interested in seeing do you got any plans for entering into Hollywood? And if you do, I'd love to be all ears on that, man. Do you have any plans on hopping into the movie business at all?
What's up, cuz? Yeah, man, I definitely, I don't know how we can correlate that with crypto, but I would love to continue to make films. I made a film called Mall Dogs independently, MALDOGS, and we streamed it on Twitch every day for hours until we got it up to 4.5 stars on Amazon. But don't believe that. But it's a really poor C-level film.
And that sounds good. I got to do some research about that. And yeah, about crypto. I was just talking to Rock. You know my cuz Rock, or my little bro Rock. I was just talking to him about crypto the other day. And man, I don't know how to get started with that, man. Like I'm a beginner. You know what I mean? So like I was just thinking about crypto, and I was like, somebody said they put $15 down and then they ended up getting $200. I was like, man, if there's a way for me to put down some little change and then get back more change at a time, then crypto is where it's at, bro. Like that could change the whole world. What's like, how would you suggest somebody like as a beginner to even get started with crypto?
I'm a beginner. I would suggest podcasts, YouTube. I think who's the gentleman? Kaizen has a YouTube. This gentleman at the top, Aquio, I see him.
Yep, I would agree.
Yeah, I've made no money in YouTube on crypto. I've only invested. I have not made any money. My money is appreciated, but I haven't made any money. And my goal is to try to figure out ways just to continue to create art in that space. And if I get rich, great.
Big dog status.
Hoopla. Also, Noom just released today, or it might have been yesterday. My days were kind of blurring now. We just released our Noom magazine. And in that, we actually talk about, it's really great intro material. It's like one of our articles. It's like, what the heck is an NFT? And it kind of talks about that and how crypto is going to be used and et cetera. So I think you would find a lot of value prop in that. So part of Noom.io / magazine. I'd love for you to go check it out and give us any feedback, actually. There'll be room for comments at the bottom. So,
and follow everybody. Follow all the speakers here, and literally your life will be different in 3 months.
Yeah, keep coming to these and listening. That's definitely the best way.
Sounds good.
I think you're going to go through a cycle. A lot of people do this. They come for the money, and then they end up staying for the tech / once they dig in and they realize, oh, wait, yeah, okay, this is a wealth transfer potentially, but there's so much more going on here than just, you know, making a smooth 10x on an investment, right? Which I know that sounds completely like first world problems, but I mean, like it really is, and everybody that I know has kind of gone through that cycle of crypto, and so I think you will do yourself a wonderful service if you can jump all those steps and just go straight to the I'm here for the tech and I know this is where the future is, and just as being a participant along the way, you're going to gain value both monetarily but also on the other end too. So, Crime Fighters, and then Big Joe.
Yo, Ryan, what's up, brother? great space, man. Thank you for hosting this. Merz, brother, just wanted to say what's up and welcome you again to the Cardano community, man. We're the Crime Fighters. We're a group of lyricists, sound recording engineers, producers, classically trained musicians, and we've been making music for years. And I just wanted to say, man, you really did pick an amazing community to join. The Cardano community has been honestly the most friendly, amazing community that there is, man. We just released a few of our first music NFTs, and it has been going extremely well. So I think you're going to love this community. I wanted to ask you a question. How do you see, or have you seen a lot of interest from the Web 2.0 space, like, publishers, or let's say, recording companies and stuff? Have you seen a lot of interest of labels wanting to get into the Web 3.0 and artists? Have you heard a lot of that talk around, like some labels coming into the Web 3.0 space?
I know that it depends on, the label. I don't know much about what's going on at major labels. But I know, like, for example, Rhymesayers, who have control of, but work closely with the MF Doom estate. They were pre the NFT boom, already released the NFT of Doom's Mask before he passed away. So they were really one of the first indie hip hop labels I saw in the space. Prior to the big boom. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I see artists like Snoop are definitely involved. Stevie Williams and I, it's a random, he's a skateboarder. He's involved in the space. But I don't think the major labels rarely get involved until they can control it. Spotify, LimeWire, they battled them in court. They're battling Twitch right now, which is obscene and ignorant. They continue to battle until they can get an unfair share of the market like they did with Spotify. So I'm sure they have something in the works, and it just stinks to me that, like, people like all of us that are, and like all of you who are doing the work and first in this space, Warner Brothers has already come to people just like the people on the spaces and said, hey, we'll give you 200 grand a year to figure out how to make this work in our favor. And that person, I won't say sold us out, but will sell us out of people just like us or you all that are going to go work for these major labels and explain it to them instead of boxing them out like we should be doing. I'm sure they're working on it, but we won't know what they're working on until it's too late, until they can give us an unfair deal. But, they want to continue to be the gatekeepers, and you can't get on TV until you get through them. You can't get a platinum record until you go through them. And it's great business, but it's being a horrible human to me.
Hopefully we make it to
market a lot sooner. If knowing what I know about mastering firms and the record industry in general, if I had to bet money, there are probably many firms right now in the music industry that are spending tons of money to incentivize people who know nothing about this space whatsoever to try to learn what's going on here, to take these royalties away from us, because we've figured out a way to, to give royalties back to the people who created the art and the work. And there's absolutely an effort going on right now at Sony and MGM and numerous other firms to figure out how to reverse engineer what we've already done. And they have no concept of, a fair royalties. There's none of that's going on. They're trying to, if anything, undermine what we're trying to work towards. And it's at this stage in the game, it's probably going to be fairly unsuccessful. I mean, they're going to have a lot of control over, companies like Spotify, Netflix, and YouTube and whatever. But in the end game, I don't know. Ryan, jump in.
Just real fast. Merz, I think you're spot on. I will say, I personally, I think that people like us here, everybody on this space who is ahead of the game and forward thinking, I think that the onus is on us to take the momentum and the impetus that we have right now. And I think I said this, and Merz said this, they have forgotten the power of the people. They have forgotten the power of the consumer. And people do not, I think that the large labels, they have their places that they go to get cash and get funding to do stuff. I mean, and basically money just gets recycled between the big places. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's a valid business model. And they're there to make a profit, not to create music. They're there to turn a profit. That's what they are. But I think whenever you start collectively generating work through the people and through the masses, and that's backing what you're doing, that's going to accelerate things, I think. And if Project Nuve has anything to do about it, you know, we're going to get to market, right? Our whole team is working for equity. And they don't, you know, that's the thing. It's like, we can't afford some of our devs full time because they're getting paid like 300 plus K at their current jobs over in Silicon Valley. Right. But they're still choosing to give 10 hours a week of their free time because they love so much of what we're doing. So it's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when. And the only thing that we can affect positively to that is faster time to market, you know, and like people say, what does that take? It takes, you know, Andrew is very, very cautious, our CTO, you know, you can throw 100 developers at a problem. That's not going to make it get done any faster. There's a point of diminishing returns, right? But actual man hours of work, you know, that'll get it there faster. But we're working. Big Joe, what you got, man?
Just real quick, it piqued my interest when the idea of movies came up, and that's the beautiful part about being on the cutting edge of technology is on Cardano, we're already dropping full-length feature films. And it's funny that it got mentioned because when Uncle Snoop was here, same thing came up. Yo, imagine when we could do movies. We got movies. We got movies already. And maybe somehow, some way, we could get that movie Toxica to MERS, which is a dope feature-length film. And, you know, we got future movies on the way. Documentaries are already on Cardano. It's amazing what we could do with NFTs. And I'm glad that Hoopla asked that question because it's awesome. I don't think people realize what we can do with NFTs yet. And as far as the record labels go, like, this is what I love about being decentralized. Like, we run this shit right now, and we got to take advantage before they come and take advantage, because they will. They're coming. They're going to come take advantage. But let's take advantage that we run this shit right now. It's for the people, by the people right now. And that's what makes it so exciting. That's the reason I'm here.
Well, one thing, right, in reference to, like, movies, that's sync rights. That's sync licensing, right, for music. And, you know, what we're doing first is streaming royalties, right? It's the streaming portion. That's an easy thing in comparison because, you know, that sync stuff, sync licensing goes through typically, right? That's a different track. But the tech stack that worked for fractionalizing and selling streaming royalties also applies to, it can apply to any of the six royalty streams. I'm being very general right now, right? So, and the great thing about blockchain, right? If you get paid by DSP right now, it's a 60-day turnaround, like minimum. It doesn't matter where you are, who you are, where you go. Somebody listens to your music on a streaming platform, you're not getting paid at a bare minimum for 60 days because there's people. There's the human element of people putting stuff in Excel sheets, like literal Excel sheets. It's ridiculous. You know, with blockchain tech, the payouts happen much faster. I'm not going to say what the actual payout time is, but they're much faster than 60 days. You know, so to that point, there is a lot of value prop in the space. And I think that people that are outside of this space have no idea of actually what this can enable. They've all been doing it the same way since, I don't know, since take your pick of very old person was around, right? And they don't know any other way because they've never seen any other way, and they can't imagine another way of things working. And well, we have the benefit of understanding, no, there's a lot of different ways that this can work, and it can work without middlemen. It can work without that human element that's not incentivized to make a profit. And when you take away that incentive to profit from that stream of value between the consumer and the artist, there's all of a sudden there's a lot more money going to where it really should be going to. And MERS hit the nail on the head. Man, I can't tell you that any better. But people forget, it's the people. The people choose, right? we already do all the work for these people, right? We go, I like this piece, I like this music. And then what do? They come right around afterwards and go, hey, you've got 500,000 likes on this. You want to sign? Right? And that's what they do. They use our work against us. We're doing the work for them. Well, let's actually put that work to actual use instead of doing work for them. Let's have that people work go back to the artist, right? So I'm with you, man. Murray, it's 11:04. You're 4 minutes over. I want to be respectful of your time.
Yeah, my wife needs me, but I want to appreciate, thank you for everyone coming by. So many like-minded people saying great things and doing great things. I know there's a lot of smarter people in the room, so they may be able to be specific, but I just read a book by David Byrne called How Music Works. I had no idea who David Byrne was until I read the book, but he reminded me and reminds us that, you know, music existed before the music business. And before 1900, it wasn't like this, you know? And Thomas Edison, who stole the idea for a record player. And the first record players, you were allowed to make records at home. And then he and his competitor figured out, if we take this, because everyone could sing, and your famous musician in your town, he worked in the mine alongside you. He didn't get paid to sing at the campfire at night because he loved what he did. He may get some extra beans and get to bed a fine woman afterwards, but there was no, you're better than us. He was back to work in the mine with everyone else, even though he could sing his ass off. It didn't matter. But you had value to the actual voice, and then people started recording their families singing around the piano. And then they figured out how to sell the record. So then they stopped making phonographs with the ability to record. And that was the beginning of the recording industry. Now, where they effed up is that they gave us, we have, they can't take away our ability to record ourselves anymore. Nor can they take away our ability to monetize and empower the thing. So there's no way, there's a way for them to come in, and what they're going to be able to throw at us is fame. I think music is slowly going back to, I'm listening to the people in my region. Because before, an Irish singer had relevant things to say because he said, speaking to his community, you were the voice of your, you were a griot, you were a storyteller, you had meaning. And that really, like it set, you know, that book and that intro set well with me. I was like, this is what's happening. So we're going to have a lot less uber famous people and a lot more people famous for what, where and when they should be relevant. Like the subgenres of rap, even nerdcore being what it is amazing. You know, there was no place for me to rap about Pokemon in 2099, but you know, now there is. And I think we're going to have see more of these subgenres and developing, and the artists being well paid and the fans being respected and dictating what they want to hear and what's important. And then, Big Joe, it's really interesting. I really would love to talk more about cinema and see where it's going. And it's hard for me because I'm old and I come from no internet to seeing the internet happen. You know, seeing Spotify as a Model T for it, as you mentioned, Ryan, like getting paid in 60 days is so crazy to me to wait, you know, when it was much more efficient to sell tapes directly to people. And then I got into 60-day terms with the thing. So with distributors shipping out records, and they kept a certain amount for returns. I don't know if anyone's old enough and selling records long enough to remember that, but you would ship out 1,000 records. They would pay you in 60 days, but only pay you for 70% of what you sold, because they heard 30% for return. And in another 90 days, you get that 30% minus the records that were returned. And you were out your pressing cost, and it was just ridiculous. And now streaming is here. So for us dinosaurs, like, getting paid in 60 days is a long time, but it's not as bad as it was. But now we're only getting a fraction of the money. I have to sell 1,000 CDs to make what I make off a million streams. It's ridiculous. So I've now, Ryan, the way you're describing it, yeah, getting paid in 60 days for something that should be instant. Why are you using Excel sheet? Like, this is ridiculous. I should get my money now. And so I think it's hard for me to see it. Because never in the history of man has technology advanced so fast, so quickly. You know, there was a long time between the Model T and the Tesla. Now we're going to go from a Model T, you know, from Web 2 to Web 3 at light speed in comparison. And like I said, for a dinosaur like me, it's hard to I'm trying to keep up. But but I'm thankful for spaces like this and Project Noom and the Cardano community and various other crypto communities that are welcoming and educating and moving this ball forward so that we can, this is the hoverboard I was promised. This is the flying car I was promised by Robert Zemeckis or whoever too many years ago. And I'm happy to be able to see it leave the ground.
Speaking okay. To my heart.
Okay, so I'm just going to say that if anybody was questioning why MERS for our first big announcement, I hope you understand why MERS at this point. Because I don't think I have met a musician to date that can speak so eloquently to the current structure and has enough foresight to understand where we're going. And MERS, you just, man, I love it. You're very eloquent. You're a wordsmith, which we all know that, but it's just nice to see you say that and do that in real time. So I'm going to be respectful of your time. I'm going to let you hop off of here. But I think I say what everybody on this call is thinking. Welcome to the fam. We are so happy to have you. You are a resource in a gym, and we celebrate you. And you know, you just gained a whole new family that's just going to be there for you for whatever questions you have. And I'm just happy that it just so happens you get to do it through Project Noom. And we're not stingy with our people. So you know, people on here that met you, reach out to him. He is a real human, and he loves to connect, and he gets it. He understands that it's people first. That's what happens. That is the key. So, Merce, thank you again for your time tonight, man. Go have fun with your family. Tell your wife we said thank you for letting us have you for an hour and 11 minutes, and we'll let you go. Pritesh, you have any final words to say before we hop off? Are we good to go?
No, Merce, that was very well said. Thank you so much for framing it like that and just sharing your experience. But welcome to the Cardano family, man. Great to have you.
Merce, big love to you, my brother.
Thank you, Mikey. Thank you all. Stay in touch. See you guys at Shillermania.
So thankful for people like you in our space, man. Just so thankful for Noom and you know what Ryan is trying to do and what you're doing. I mean, you just spoke to my heart, brother. I'm just so excited about the future and what's coming. You know, I mean, we're not even close. Like we're working there, but dude, nothing but love. Nothing but love. Nothing but love.
Amen to that.
All right, so have a good night.
You too, Merce. Thanks so much, Ben.
Peace.
All right. Everybody, if you don't know, the Stoners Club is coming up next, and I think they just started. So if you can, hop over, support Big Joe, and go hang out with them for a little bit before you go to bed. But it's 11, 12 my time, and on you East Coast folks, I know y'all are really late. So I'm going to let y'all hop off of here. Before we go, Solaire, I see your hand. One last thing, and then we're off.
This was the dopest. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you, bro. Thank you so much for facilitating this. It was awesome. I think Merge was able to, you know, get a real good feel of what the community is about. And it's dope to see all the musicians in Cardano right here in this space right now. I've been saying for months now that the music in Cardano is the sleeping giant, and I swear that that's going to come true. Watch. The music is the sleeping giant here.
I've said it from Jump Street. Music is universal, and I am a firm believer that music is going to be one of the things that causes real mass adoption for this blockchain. I am a firm believer. I don't think it's going to be games. It's not going to be metaverse. It's not going to be DeFi protocols. It's going to be music. And I personally think it's going to be Project Noom, but I'm a little biased. But it takes all of us. You know what I'm saying? It takes a village. And I'm going to give a shout out to Mitchell and Michael, two of our ambassadors.
Mood Swings Music. You know it, baby.
Sure.
Mood Swings in the building. Thank you, Ryan. Big love to everybody. Big love to our whole team that's listening. And big love to the whole Cardano community. We look forward to collaborating with everyone.
And on that note, you all have a wonderful night. We'll see you guys next Thursday. Go hang out with Big Joe at the Stoners Club. All right. We'll see y'all next week.
Hey.
Good night, guys.
Peace, everybody.
Take care, everybody. Later.
Peace.